I'm thrilled that Brother Craig and I have the privilege to go through these articles that we have adopted as our statement of faith. Now, many of these things overlap, and that's no different than this one is today. Here's the way it reads. 3, God's eternal decrees. God hath decreed in himself, before the world was, concerning all things which occur, with all of the circumstances of them, to work, dispose, and bring about all things according to the counsel of his own will, to his glory, yet without being the author of sin or having fellowship with any therein, in which appears his wisdom in disposing all things and his unchangeableness, power, and faithfulness in accomplishing his decree. And God hath, before the foundation of the world, foreordained some men to eternal life through Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of his grace, writing their names in the Lamb's book of life, and then sending his only begotten Son to save his people from their sins, having foreordained and leaving the rest in sin to their just condemnation, to the praise of his justice.
Amen.
I love that. And the reason I love it is because I know it's true. I know it's scripture. There's a host of proof texts, and we will address those as we go through. I want to say a word about God's decrees. Just for my own education, I went through the scriptures looking for those that had issued decrees. It never actually says that of God himself, but talks about all the different kings who made decrees. Think about that a minute. We need to define the term decree. It comes from a Hebrew word in the Old Testament that's translated ordinance, decree, or law. And the Oxford English Dictionary defines the word decree as one of the eternal purposes of God, whereby events are foreordained. The Greek word for decree in the New Testament is diatheke. And it means to decide or determine authoritatively, to pronounce by decree. Consider all of these things. I could say, I think you could, that God's decrees are the same as his purpose or his plan. God has a plan for all things that happen without exception. We're told that not even a sparrow falls without the Heavenly Father. Not about his knowledge, but without the Heavenly Father who brings down the axe and takes the life of that little bird. In Romans 8:28, we all could quote that without exception, I guess. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose. His purpose. His plan. What he has designed. I thought it was interesting that the Greek word for purpose is also translated showbread. Remember where they put the loaves on the table in the tabernacle in the temple? It was to clearly set forth, and I think we can all see God's purpose clearly set forth in working all things for good for his people. Let me read two or three verses about purpose, and I'll give you these notes. I will send them to you after the message. So try to keep up, but if you don't, skip over and catch up. Here we go. Romans 9, verse 10 through 12. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose, see that? The purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And how did that happen? Because God made it happen. It was ordained from the beginning of the world. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. I realize this is breaking into the middle of a thought, but it will capture what we want to see today. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose, there's that word again, the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God didn't ask anybody, folks. He designed it all. You know, years ago, when I was still preaching an Armenian gospel, I really knew. I said this a couple of times in a sermon and almost set the people's teeth on edge. I said, folks, you know what? It's exactly like you and I are here as players in a play acting out the script which God has written from the foundation of the world. And that's true. Actually, it's true. Let's read Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according or in complete agreement with the eternal purpose. See, there's that word again. His purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
So, we're talking about God's decree, God's purpose, God's plan. It's very important that we make a distinction between scriptural proof of the decrees or person of God and a closely related article entitled The Providence of God. We're focusing on the fact that God had the decree, had the plan, had the purpose. The providence of God, which is another subject, follows the fall of man, and it proves this statement. One of us will do this. That here's the statement about God's providence. God, in his infinite power and wisdom, directs all things to the purpose for which they were created, that neither good nor evil befalls by any chance or without his providence, and that whatsoever befalls the elect is by his appointment for his glory and their good. We talk a lot about God's providence, how he moves things in our life, things that we couldn't possibly plan and work out for ourselves. Okay, we'll leave that where it is, and we'll catch that another time. Let us now examine the statements and the proof text which show the decrees of God. We read this. I read it a while ago. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. And it closed with this statement. God said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I like to think of it this way. God can't do anything he wants to. He's God. And when God does what he wants to, it's right. Because who can say it's not? Who can reply against God? What are you doing? So whatever he does is right. And he said, I will do all my pleasure, what I want to do. In Ephesians 1:11, we read this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You see, God didn't see, or God knows all things, but he didn't make this plan based on things that he saw in the creature. He did it by the counsel of his own will. In Romans 11:33, we read this, a great verse that ascribes majesty to our God. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. His judgment, his purpose, those things go together. Psalm 115, verse 3 says this, but our God is in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 135, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in the heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. You know, God can, just because he's God, can suddenly, without any preparation whatsoever, change the heart of a man so that a man is going this way And all of a sudden, his whole heart is changed. Turns him completely around. Such was with Saul. We read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. You remember Saul? Daddy had lost the donkeys, and he was out looking for the donkeys. And he ran into Samuel, and a lot of things happened to Saul. In 1 Samuel 10, 9, we read this. And it was Saul, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, this was Saul, God gave him another heart. See that? God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And then in 1 Samuel 10, 26, not only Saul, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Brother Clark mentioned this in his lesson this morning. I thought that was marvelous how God can look upon a man with pride and abase him. In Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. This is one of the great consolations, brothers and sisters, that I have today with all of the turmoil that's going on in the world.
Amen.
You know, the hearts of all of these men, as wicked as they may be, is in the hand of God.
Yes.
And God will turn it to accomplish his purpose that's already been lined out.
Amen.
In Proverbs 16:33, I love this. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You remember, now I don't know what they did exactly, but in the first church, Judas, you recall, went to his place. And they had to choose someone to replace Judas. And they gave their lots. I don't know what that means. I'm sure it doesn't mean they voted. But they gave their lots. And the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the apostles. See, God did that. That was his choice. Why? Peter had prayed, Lord, show us which of these men you've chosen. And he did.
Amen.
Matthias was the guy. He already knew that. Now, I want to read a psalm because this talks about God's majesty and his greatness. Psalm 144, verses, the whole thing, 15 verses. A psalm of David. Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and the right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and a right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000 in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord, Jehovah. God said, we read this morning in Isaiah 45:7, I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Jeremiah 14:22. Jeremiah's comparing the vanities of the Gentiles, their idols. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. You see, God has set in motion laws, his laws, that direct all of these things. The shower, the flood, the drought, the hurricane. There's not one thing that happens that God is not the doer of it or has set those things in motion. And our God has decreed from before the world was that he would take care of his people. I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon had more wisdom than any man save Jesus Christ. He had more money than anyone has ever had. And he used it well. He had the finest of the finest, and yet not even dressed like the beautiful lily that comes forth today and tomorrow is cast into the earth. Jan has a Christmas cactus. And I think that's one of the most beautiful plants. It's all of a sudden at a certain time of the year. Why is that? How come? Why is it around Thanksgiving and Christmas, this old green thing all of a sudden start putting out buds, and then a few days it keeps extending and extending, and it's one of the most gorgeous thing you ever saw. And then in a day, it flops. Wow, Solomon didn't have that. That is so good. Now, the last part of our confession concerning the decrees of God says this: and God hath before the foundation of the world, when? Before the foundation of the world, before the world was, before anything was created, foreordained some men to eternal life through Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of his grace, writing their names in the Lamb's book of life before the world was, and then sending his only begotten Son, not to make a way, but to save his people from their sins, which he did when he died on the cross. having foreordained and leaving the rest in sin to their just condemnation, to the praise of his justice. Now you see how this works out. Turn to Acts 13, 48. I'm looking at my notes. Let me turn there in my scripture. This is so good. Let me start with verse 46 so we get the context. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, that is the Jews. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentile, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now watch this. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained or appointed to eternal life believed. Mm-hmm. What? They were chosen to eternal life. And as many as were at that place at that time believed. Hallelujah. That's so good. Look at the workings of this. Turn back to Numbers chapter 23, verses 19 and 20. This is about Balak and Balaam. Remember, Balak had hired Balaam to go curse the Israelites. He gave him big money. I mean, Balaam was a doozy of a prophet for sure. But this is what he says to Balak in Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. This guy got up to curse Israel, and God just changed his word, so he blessed him. He couldn't do anything else. Unbelievable, but believable to me. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10. But the Lord is a true God. He is a living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. See, God is determined. And he'll bring it to pass, and no hand can stay him. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Why? According to the good pleasure of his will. I hear people say, I wish I knew why God loved me. I'll tell you why. Because he wanted to.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to. He chose to do that.
Yeah.
And why do we love him? Because he first loved us.
Yes.
That's why. I don't know for sure when all of these angels fell that kept not their first estate, but I think it was in the very beginning. I want you to notice what God did for them. Turn to Jude 4 through 6. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. What's that? We said there were some men left in their sins. This says these men crept in among us, the churches, who were before of old ordained or appointed to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chain under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. I believe the scriptures teach us that the church is going to have a hand in judging the angels in that day. It's already set up. It's already done. It's decreed. It's done. I want to urge you at some time, if you might have to do it every month, but use the Proverbs for your daily reading. Just read a proverb every day. And on the 16th day of the month, you will become a sovereign grace believer when you read what says in the 16th chapter of Proverbs. Here's one of the things it says in verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. We don't like that. We're the creatures. Hey, we're the creatures. We didn't decide to come here. He set all of that in motion. He hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. That agrees, substantiates what we believe in our confession. And I like this. This is one of the tremendous passages, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14. The apostle said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification or setting apart of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you see the whole spectrum. Election, quickening, preaching of the gospel, conversion, and all of that happens in those verses. Now turn to Revelation 13:8, and we want to see if the Bible teaches that our name was written in the book of life before the world was. You'll always remember this. 13:8, 17:8, 13:8, 17:8. Okay, let's read 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that is, the old beast, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. See, the only people are going to understand what is happening during this great time of trouble are those whose names are written in the book of life. The wise shall understand, but the wicked will go on with their wickedness. You need to memorize Matthew 1:21 and just break it down into pieces and look at it. This is wonderful. This is absolutely terrific. Jesus Christ was going to be born. The angel Gabriel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21 about Mary, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." His people? Was that the Jews? No, wholesalely they rejected it, did they not? His people, who are his people? You read the New Testament, you read about the ones given him of the Father. And he said, "They shall come to me, and they shall hear my voice, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Because at the cross, he paid for all of their sin, all of their sin, and he saved them when he died on the cross. And when the gospel is preached, both life and immortality are brought to life. And they realize, "Hey, I believe. I see that. I understand that." And they're already, their names written in the book. They come to believe. Someone said, "Preacher, don't you believe John 3:16? Sure do. Can you quote it? Huh? What's it say? Whosoever God so loved the world, amen, that whosoever believeth in him," he gave his only begotten Son, "whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life." Right. I believe that. But I also believe that there are some, many, who do not believe because they're not of his sheep. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. "You believe not because you're not of my sheep, but my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them everlasting life." John 10:11, and then we'll read 28 and 29, and this is the end of the scripture. John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Who are the sheep? It's his sheep. And you know, they're not goats that are going to turn into sheep. They always were sheep. They were lost sheep. "I give my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 10:28. "And I give unto them," my sheep, "eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me, those given him, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. In these scriptures, we've seen the purpose or decrees of God about all things which occur in time. We see how God moves and changes events according to the counsel of his own will, that which he's determined. We have seen how God brings to pass the heart changes and conversion of those he's purposed to save before the foundation of the world. We've seen that the wicked angels and men are reserved to judgment, which will magnify God's justice. And every one of us truly know from all the biblical evidence, God set forth his plan for everything that happens in time. Everything. One of the things that has settled this old man more than any other thing since I come to believe and know Christ is the understanding that God directs everything. Everything that happens is according to his own will and the counsel of his will. Blesses my soul to read that, hear that. And I love to hear it again and again and again. But you say, well, why? Some people don't have a chance. You know what? What amazes me is that anybody had a chance.
That's right.
That anyone had a chance, that he chose some. Yeah. What do we deserve? Hell.
That's right.
Yeah. Boy, don't you know you deserve hell? Yeah. I couldn't even begin to say all the things that have been in my life. I don't even want to think about it. Oh, God, thank you that you took my sin in your own body on the tree. And anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has everlasting life. It doesn't say if they're a Baptist. It doesn't say even if they believe in election. It doesn't say if they believe in God's sovereignty. It says if they believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
Anyone, anywhere.
That's right.
I hope you believe. I hope you'll be saved. God bless you.